Sweet Annie.
What you're living for, you can stand your ground when the devil's at your door. And a little hope can help you when the road is getting rough. But there's nothing quite like life if you've got love. If you've got love, you can move a mountain.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. New York's governor pushing ahead with congestion pricing for New York City, the plan already facing roadblocks.
Supporters of congestion pricing, which will now impose a $9 toll on all vehicles that enter Manhattan south of 60th Street, say the money is desperately needed to fund subways and buses. But there are plenty of opponents, like State Assemblyman Michael Novikov, who says the governor is merely
rushing through a new tax on New Yorkers that only serves one purpose, bringing in money for a mismanaged agency.
He called it a desperate move. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Florida's governor calling a special election to fill former Congressman Matt Gaetz's House seat. He resigned after President-elect Trump nominated him to be attorney general. He faces an uphill battle for Senate confirmation due to congressional ethics investigations into sexual misconduct. President Biden traveling to Peru for the APEC summit. He's expected to meet with China's leader on the sidelines. This is ABC News. Efforts to get the Menendez brothers released from prison could be affected by a new district attorney elected in Los Angeles County.
Incoming LA County District Attorney Nathan Hochman says he has to review case files before deciding how to move forward on current DA George Gascon's attempts to free the Menendez brothers. Hochman says he may ask for a delay in hearings when he's sworn in next month, telling ABC News he doesn't know what he'll decide to do with the brothers.
A DA has to do that hard work, because you have to have credibility in whatever decision I come to in court.
He says he can't decide just based on the Netflix documentary on the Menendez brothers. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Data from the World Health Organization and the CDC show there were more than 10 million cases of measles in 2023 worldwide, a 20% increase from the previous year. In the U.S., the number of reported cases has surged to four times the amount last year. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. When sending a package, why venture outside? Ship with USPS for a true holiday ride. Want to stay cozy and warm? There's no need to roam. With free package pickup and labels printed from home, we have over 600,000 employees always in motion. And before you know it, your gift has delivered emotion. Spread the holiday joy this season with USPS's enhanced network. Learn more at usps.com/holidayride.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Kenosha School District parents are concerned following a frightening incident at an elementary school. 13-year-old boy tried to enter Roosevelt Elementary School last week with what was initially believed to be a semi-automatic rifle. Police later found several airsoft guns at the teen's home where he was arrested. Elizabeth Murillo was among the frustrated parents at Monday's school board meeting.
We know what's going on. We know that the ball was dropped. Please do something better next time.
The incident wasn't on the board's agenda for the meeting. The teen at the center of the scare was in Kenosha County Court Tuesday afternoon. He's been ordered to remain in custody and faces a charge of making a terroristic threat. Milwaukee police are investigating a carjacking and fatal crash. It happened Tuesday evening in Milwaukee's Midtown neighborhood. The carjacked vehicle with two teens inside collided with another vehicle with two people inside. The 60-year-old driver died at the scene. His unidentified passenger is hospitalized with serious injuries. The 18-year-old driver and 14-year-old passenger in the stolen vehicle were taken into custody and hospitalized for minor injuries. If you get a flu shot now, you can protect yourself through the new year. Tom Haupt with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says about 22% of Wisconsin residents have gotten a flu shot so far this year.
Because it takes at least 2 weeks to get full protection, if people get vaccinated right now for flu, they will have protection going into Thanksgiving holidays and also have that protection for the Christmas holidays and also for New Year's holidays as well. I mean, I'm just very happy that we are seeing an increase after 4 or 5 years of decline. And I hope that trend does continue so we can get it back up to what we had in 2020, 2021.
Haupt says 11% of the state's residents have been vaccinated against COVID-19. He'd like to see higher rates for both vaccinations.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Wake up and be a McDonald's breakfast person. Enjoy a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get two for just $6. Order ahead in the app to save time. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Stuck under overcast and cloudy skies today, but temperatures remain mild. Highs reaching the low 50s and overnight lows staying above freezing to the upper 30s. Tomorrow's the day the sunshine makes a return, and high temperatures stick with where they are in the low 50s. For fall and winter getaways, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Right now, 47 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Markets today. Now here's the thing. The setup looks an awful lot like yesterday when corn, beans, and wheat dropped early and then built back through the rest of the day. Livestocks, same deal. Pressure right now. Oh, looky there. The feeder cattle decided to pop higher. Ah! Well, we've got some new voices with new ideas this morning on AgriTalk. Live! All by myself. Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we begin with a conversation with Craig Rupp from Sabato Inc. Then it's Russell Taylor, VP of Live Earth Products. And later, an extended conversation with Neville Spear from Drovers. I am your broadcast host. Welcome to AgriTalk, everyone. I'm so glad you've chosen to spend some time with us this morning. Chip is traveling. He's in the wind. But don't worry, he'll be back tomorrow morning. This afternoon, I've got a fantastic conversation lined up with Jody Lawrence. That's going to be a good one. This morning, I brought in a few new voices with some new ideas, some innovations that I kind of just want to talk about a little bit. One of the things that I definitely want to try and pull out from some of these conversations is how is it different working in the field of ag technology than working in technology in other sectors? Are there, you know, unique challenges maybe that these folks are coming up with here? Some of the things we're going to talk about include some really interesting What am I trying to say? An organic way to fertilize. They're talking about organic fertilizers for one. We're going to talk about that. And then we've got the founder and CEO of Sabanto. This is where the technology comes in, talking about some of these autonomous AI-driven tractors and things. A self-driving tractor seems like an incredible investment, just a crazy thing to throw money at right now when money is tight. I know some have done it, and I know that some are skeptical.
So this is kind of a new take on that Craig Rupp is going to bring to us today. I'm looking forward to digging in to what he's got to offer us here. And then, as I said later on, we're going to talk a little bit of fertilizer with some organic fertilizer products. The 2023 CCA Conservationist of the Year, Russell Taylor, will join us to discuss that. And then later on in the show, we're going to have Neville Spear from Drovers. I want to talk to him for a little bit longer than we usually do in his two-minute hit. Let's get to know Neville a little bit, and let's talk about this cattle market. As I said, the fat cattle lower, hogs lower, but the feeder cattle popped a little higher this morning already. We'll have to see how all of that shakes out. In the meantime, let's talk a little news. The National Weather Service outlook: a rapidly developing coastal storm is expected to bring a period of gusty winds, enhanced rainfall, and thunderstorms from the Carolinas to the mid-Atlantic states. That's Thursday night into Friday. Lower elevation and coastal rain and mountain snow will continue for the PNW today. A rain-snow mix will spread inland across the Great Basin and Rockies Thursday and Friday. Most of the country will see seasonable to above-average temperatures to end the week. We got a really nice rain yesterday here in Kansas City. I know that we needed it, and I saw that storm move over across western Iowa, across that state there. Some much-needed rain, and we got to get the soil moisture recharged here. And at least here locally, yesterday was a great start toward that end. Here's a U.S. daily export sale: 176,000 metric tons of soybeans to unknown destinations in the 24-25 marketing year. As we watch the soybean price drop, one shouldn't be surprised. The lower the price goes, maybe importers are becoming more and more interested. This is how low prices can cure low prices. The Dow and S&P 500 managed to finish higher yesterday, with the Dow staying in positive territory most of the day, while the S&P 500 moved back slightly higher by the close. The NASDAQ ended lower. Lots on the election stuff here. The GOP has not only regained control of the White House and the Senate, but also managed to hold on to a narrow majority in the House. This, according to the Associated Press, which called it late yesterday. Democrats have so far won 208 seats, while some contests are still uncalled. Key Republican wins included flipping districts in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Colorado, while Democrats made gains in New York and redistricted Alabama and Louisiana. I've been watching this here. Senator John Thune of South Dakota has been named Senate Majority Leader. Thune's election as Majority Leader is considered beneficial for the U.S. ag sector for several reasons. Those reasons include his agricultural background, his farm bill experience, his support for conservation, and he also brings with him a very experienced staff. This leadership change marks the end of Mitch McConnell's, he's from Kentucky, 18-year tenure as the Senate's Republican leader. Thune will assume the role of majority leader for the next 2 years, coinciding with President-elect Donald Trump's second term. The full House of Representatives will vote to elect its speaker on the opening day of the new Congress, which is January 3rd. While Mike Johnson has won the Republican nomination for speaker, he still needs to secure 218 votes. That's a simple majority of the 435 House seats. Senator Marco Rubio, was officially nominated by President Trump to serve as Secretary of State following leaked reports earlier in the week. In his statement, Rubio described the nomination as a, quote, tremendous responsibility, and pledged to uphold Trump's peace through strength foreign policy. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. reportedly aims to eliminate processed food from school lunches and restrict food dyes, signaling a significant shift in Trump's food regulation plans. While some praise his efforts to promote healthier food, his controversial background as a vaccine critic raises concerns among some public health officials. Federal Reserve officials emphasize that future monetary policy decisions will remain data dependent, with Fed Governor Adriana Kugler noting progress on price stability and employment while cautioning against premature rate cuts. Fed Chair Jerome Powell reiterated the need for flexibility, stating that persistent inflation would justify pausing cuts, while a sudden labor market slowdown could prompt gradual reductions. Just 36% of U.S. households earned enough to afford a new home in the third quarter of this year. That compares to 59% in the same period in 2019. Factory gate prices in the U.S. rose 0.2% month over month in October 2024. That matched market expectations that followed a 0.1% rise in September. Meanwhile, the U.S. budget deficit expanded to $121 billion in October. Get this. That's up 89% from last year, mainly due to increased spending on health, defense, and rising debt interest costs. This, according to the Treasury Department. And we're going to need to figure out more on this, but the American Farm Bureau Federation has decided to terminate the Illinois Farm Bureau's membership effective December 20, 2024. AFBF President Zippy Duvall stated that the decision to vote out the Illinois Farm Bureau is related to maintaining, quote, farmer control of organizational decisions. Of note here, while the Illinois Farm Bureau will no longer be part of the American Farm Bureau Federation, it will continue to operate as a state-level organization. We'll have to get somebody on to talk about this situation right here. But for now, we are moving on. My next guest is going to bring us some new ideas. We're going to talk about innovation in agriculture and how that might help out the labor, might help out sustainability, might help out on a number of different levels. We're going to dig in with Craig Rupp next on AgriTalk.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
We've been using Pivot Bio for 4 years. The first thing that drove us to Pivot Bio was the unique thought that there's something else out there outside of synthetic nitrogen that can replace it. And the data shows that we are able to replace that 40 pounds, sustain the same yield goals with 40 pounds less synthetic nitrogen. Anytime we can more efficiently use our nitrogen, that is more efficiently using our dollars.
Visit TalkNitrogen.com for your free nitrogen efficiency review. That's TalkNitrogen.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN. Don't risk your nitrogen investment. ESN is designed to beat the five ROI killers and provide season-long end to your crop. Learn how ESN works at SmartNitrogen.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal Davis Michelson here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. Excited to be here today. A couple of new voices here. We're going to begin here with Sabanto Inc. They say, quote, just as the advent of the plow or irrigation systems revolutionized agriculture in the past, artificial intelligence, AI, is set to transform the landscape of farming in ways we could only imagine. With that, let me bring in the founder and CEO of Sabanto Inc., Craig Rupp. Craig, welcome to AgriTalk. Thanks for being with us this morning, buddy. How are you?
Good, and thank you for having me, Davis. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm fascinated by what you folks have got going on there. Let me just do some housekeeping here first. Are we talking about Sabanto or Sabanto? I want to make sure and say the name right, sir.
Sabanto.
Okay, very good. Talk to us about Sabanto Inc., just generally, broadly. What are you folks up to?
We create a retrofit kit that attaches to the tractor you already have sitting in your machine shed. I think your next generation autonomous tractor is already sitting in your machine shed. And so what we do is we come out to your farm, we install our equipment onto your tractor, and then we turn it into an autonomous tractor, and we're doing all sorts of field operations across the United States.
That is fascinating. So what you're doing is taking out some of the expense of automating the fleet on the farm. I think that may be just one benefit. Fair?
That's fair. Obviously, we're targeting just the lack of labor. Mm-hmm. But we see a future where, you know, tractors are the Swiss Army knives of agriculture. They're ubiquitous in agriculture, and you know we're using that that platform to take autonomy into agriculture, as opposed to creating a custom machine that has to be supported, and you know the infrastructure is already out there for tractors as well.
So once you have installed this technology onto an existing implement, onto a tractor, is it now just purely dedicated to autonomous operation, or can you also get in there and still drive it the old-fashioned way?
With a flip of a switch, you can turn it from a manually operated, just like you normally operate it, into an autonomous tractor.
Is it like a cool toggle switch? I don't know. There's something about a toggle switch. You flip it, and a little red light comes on, and off you go. I find that very exciting, the idea. But
Okay.
So you got the toggle switch going. We checked that box. You can still drive it as a regular tractor, and yet, you can run it autonomously too. So help me get my head around, like, maybe practical applications. A farmer has this installed. I'm pretty excited because now I'm able to what?
We're focused on really, you know, very mundane field operations at this point. Okay. You know, we see a future where, more complex field operations are being performed autonomously. But we're doing a lot of very mundane and what I call high frequency field operations where they're out there, you know, ideally every day, preferably every week or even once a month. Like, for example, we're really getting involved with hay operations because in some parts of the country, you know, they'll do 8 to 10 cuttings a year. And these large hay operations, they're doing 200, 300 acres per day. And it's the same fields, you know, over and over. And it's very mundane to do, you know, some of these field operations.
Does your company guarantee straight rows? For me, that would be among the largest benefits, is to get a nice straight row going.
Absolutely. Our GNSS receiver, we have sub 2-centimeter accuracy, and
wow.
The rows are as straight as you can be. You can make it. And, you know, so we have a path planner in our mission control. Our mission control is web-based, so you can use it with your iPhone, Android, even sitting back in your office on your computer. And, And what we do is we can create path plans, you know, if you want it, if you're tilling at plus 10 degrees or if you want it minus 10 degrees, you can go through and absolutely change that and create path plans per, you know, whatever's required.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to this question here, but is there a data collection and storage component to this as well? I'm thinking about maybe guidance would require some sort of grid mapping or something like that. How do you manage that?
Well, when the only thing you have to do to prep a field is, and you have to do this once, we have to get the field boundaries. So normally what we do is when we deploy a system or prior to deploying a system in a field, we have to basically drive the boundary of the field, and that establishes your geofence. Now, in regards to data, we're collecting a ton of data as to, every aspect of the tractor is geotagged and time stamped, and it flows up into the cloud, and all that data is available. Farmer owns the data, and then what we do is we create roll-ups, dashboards of, you know, how efficient this field operation was, or how efficient the multiple systems are. You can compare one to the other.
This is some Jetsons-like style technology. Does it require an operator to remain in the cab even if you're using hands-off automation here to work the field?
No.
Can I just push a button and send the tractor out to the back 40 and it'll come back when it's done?
Yeah, it's pretty much that.
Really?
We've also implemented what we call a virtual field operator. So some farmers, they like to, they'll run their system for a number of weeks, and then what they want is they want someone sitting in an office, deploying this, moving it from one field to the next. And we have what's called virtual field operators. So I have some virtual field operators. They're controlling 10 tractors across the United States, working with farming operations. In the morning, they call her and tell her, I want, field A, field B, and field C done today. Mm-hmm. And her responsibility is the farmer will park the system in field A. She will, perform the field operation in field A, then move it from field A to field B on private drives currently, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. perform field B. And she'll do this throughout the day and into the night as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I reckon they sit there with like a PlayStation controller kind of a thing is what I'm envisioning. That can't be right.
Now, think of, have you ever played Farming Simulator?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like the real deal, though.
That's cool.
It's not necessarily a video game. It's an right. actual tractor, and we have right. cameras, and she routinely looks at cameras to make sure everything's going fine.
Yeah, this is a big deal. From your press release, according to Newsweek, more than 141,000 farms have been lost over 5 years due to a shortage of workers. This could certainly remedy that to a degree, couldn't it, sir?
Absolutely, and what I want to do is I want to bring in a new generation of farmers.
Yeah.
I've said this before. I think autonomy is going to bring horsepower in the other direction, and bring costs of entering agriculture, bring those down. That's my goal.
I'm glad that you brought up that next generation, because as farm kids and others who are interested in the ag industry look around at an ever-evolving technological world, there is a place in ag for some pretty high-tech development, isn't there?
Absolutely. It's their world, and I think the most successful ag companies in the future will have leveraged the next generation.
That's great. That's really good right there. Craig Rupp, founder and CEO of Sabanto Inc. If folks are interested, where can they find out more?
Then go to our website. It's sabantoag.com.
sabantoag.com. That's S-A-B-A-N-T-O-ag.com. Craig, this is fascinating. I'd like to keep in touch. I have more questions. We're just out of time. Thank you for sharing your story with us. We'll be back. I want to talk some more, buddy. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Davis. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Craig Rupp, founder and CEO of Sabanto Inc. That's sabantoag.com if you're interested in more. All right. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about fertilizers, but first we're going to hit the markets real quick. AgriTalk.
I am Rosario Dawson. Cancer can be a challenging journey, one that no one should take on alone. And Stand Up to Cancer wants to make sure no one has to. We bring together the best scientists and doctors to accelerate research, leading to more effective treatments. With each new advancement, we're getting closer than ever to our mission of making every cancer patient cancer-free. To get there even faster, we rely on the support from individuals like you, so that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination.
The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now. Let's go further together. Find out how you can join the mission. Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Together, we're living in a smart rural community. A smart rural community is connected by a fiber optic broadband network for economic development, education, healthcare, government services, security, and more. 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom is a small local company with a big vision to develop and maintain a fiber optic broadband network that connects smart rural communities from the ground up. To learn more about smart rural communities, visit 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom online at wwt.net.
Milk markets are mixed. From the NAFB convention, I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update on WRDN. At the Mercantile Exchange, December milk down 13 to 1853. January steady at 1874. February up 6 to 1895. March milk up 2 at 1897. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets moving up mostly lower today. After some of the cash markets in the north were $3 lower than last week, and that has the trade a bit spooked. Also, box beef prices were lower. Now, the feeder cattle markets are mixed. They are seeing some support from some of the drop in grain markets, but there's still that pressure from the drop in live cattle markets. Hog markets moving mostly lower after the belly contracts were coming in $25 lower. That's got the market very spooked on that with triple-digit losses. December live cattle down $1.10 to $182.92. November feeder cattle still up 67 cents to $247.15. December hogs down $1.42 to $80.45. Corn futures, meanwhile, are moving mostly lower on a risk-off type of trade today, and also a softening of the spread action during the day session as well. Soybean futures also moving mostly lower. Some of the soybean products sharply lower. Again, it's a risk-off type of trade. Wheat markets also moving mostly lower once again, following the rest of the grain complex, even though they are now oversold. New crop 25 corn down 3.5 to 436 and 3 quarters. New crop 25 beans down 11 to 1017 and a half.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Your pal Davis Michelson here. Chip is traveling. He'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Everything's okay. I'm anxious to speak with my next guest, Russell Taylor, VP of Live Earth Products and the 2023 CCA Conservationist of the Year. Taylor suggests that because nitrogen fertilizer use is so widespread, farmers looking to reduce emissions or prepare for future regulations, what? Should consider humates, like humic and fulvic acids, as a simple way to minimize environmental impact. I'm already in over my skis here. Russell Taylor from Live Earth Products, welcome to AgriTalk. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Give us the elevator speech on Live Earth Products. What do you got there? What's the story?
We mine and manufacture humic acids, and most people aren't familiar with humic acids. They're a component of your soil organic matter. So basically, we're mining an ancient plant deposit, isolating those organic acids, and then using them in different markets to help stabilize nutrients and other amendments.
Okay. So basically, what you're trying to do is keep the stuff where the stuff has been placed. is that an oversimplification, probably?
No, you nailed it. That's really it. We're trying to take these nutrients, put them in the root zone, and let the plant have a longer opportunity to look at those nutrients before they're lost, volatilized, or converted through natural processes.
Wow. Wow. I like that idea. Live Earth Products, apparently here, a family-run business, 30 years plus of hard work and innovation. I guess my question for you, Russell, and you may not know the answer to this, but what was going on 30 years ago that made the family start this business or move down this road here?
Well, sometimes success starts with tragedy. My father was actually in the coal mines. There was a fire, and he left the coal mines and said, you know what, this is not a life for me and my children. And he was using his mining knowledge, consulting. They found a deposit, and the consultant said, well, this might not make what we're looking for, but it might make a fertilizer. And my father just ran with it. So, yeah. I was a young kid, 9 years old, out there helping my father mine these things. So it's kind of the real American story where, you know, I wouldn't say rags to riches, but it was tough times now and finally success. So yeah. Hard to sell conservation in the 80s, but we're seeing it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that is mining the sort of thing that kind of gets in your blood? I mean, he went from mining and said, nah, nope, I'm done with this. And then went and started another mine is what it sounds like to me.
Well, you take your skill set and apply it elsewhere. So it's like farming, you know, you move from one crop to another. I don't know if it, you know, changing from soybeans to corn is all that hard. It's just